Well, I invite you to open up to Psalm 46 this morning. I've been working on memorizing Psalm 46 and have been blessed by it, by meditating on it personally over the last little while. And then I know with troubles that we've been going through, I think of Kurt and Jane and the various health concerns too that people have had recently, I thought, let's go ahead and I'd like to preach from Psalm 46 and then we'll jump back into Genesis 28 next Sunday, Lord willing. And so I thought I would go ahead and preach on Psalm 46 this morning, a well-known song. In fact, we just sang "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," which is taken from Psalm 46 as its launching point when Luther wrote that. So Psalm 46. Now, we don't know exactly the background to Psalm 46 historically, but I think it was probably, and this is one of the this is maybe the what commentators think is probably the background to it, and it makes a lot of sense. And so I think it probably was, although we don't know for sure. 2 Kings 19, when Jerusalem was threatened by Sennacherib's army. Sennacherib was the king of Assyria, and this took place in 701 BC. And Sennacherib and his army had come down, and they'd already taken some cities in the area, and they came up toward Jerusalem, and the Lord protected Jerusalem. And Hezekiah was king of Judah at that time. Hezekiah's tunnel was dug before that, leading up to this time. And we read in 2 Kings 19 how the angel of the Lord struck dead 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians at night and turned the threat away. And so here's this massive army about to come against Jerusalem, and the Lord in one night decimates 185,000 soldiers, and they go back. They leave Jerusalem alone. Now, whatever the background to this psalm, and that may well be the historical background, the occasion out of which this psalm was written, but whatever the background, the psalm applies to the various troubles that we, who are God's people, face in life. And it's a psalm of great confidence in the Lord, great confidence in the Lord. As I mentioned, Martin Luther wrote that hymn that we just sang, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," from this psalm when he was on his way to the Diet of Worms. Now, whenever I hear of that, you know, I think of eating worms. It's not that. It was a council. It was a committee that the Roman Catholic Church called at a city in Germany called Worms. And they summoned Luther there to come and answer for some of his teachings that were part of the Protestant Reformation, which had begun 4 years previous, 4 years prior to the Council of Worms, 1517. Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the Wittenberg Cathedral door, and then in 1521, the Council of Worms takes place. What was on the way to the council, and Luther knew what was coming, what he was going to face at the council. It was on the way to the council that Luther penned, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And so he went to the council, and he was, with brave conviction, refused to recant the truths of Protestant teaching, and was then unjustly labeled as a heretic. So out of that council now, he was officially labeled a heretic by the Roman Catholic Church, unjustly, because he was defending the truths of the Protestant Reformation that were over against the Catholic error on those points. I mean, there were many things that we agree with Catholics on, but there were some significant things. Justification by faith alone, sola scriptura, others that we disagreed with the Catholics on. And Luther was representing the Reformation at this diet, and he refused to recant. And that's where the famous line of that he stands on the word of God, and it's not safe to go against conscience, and here I stand, and trusting in the Lord's word. Councils can err, and they have erred. Popes and bishops have erred, he says, but I stand on the word of God. So it's this brave, bold, wonderful stand that he took. And on the way from the diet at Worms, some friends of his actually kidnapped him. They staged a kidnapping and they put him away for a while in safety because they knew that his life was threatened at that point. And it was on his way to this diet that he wrote, "A mighty fortress is our God." He knew he was in the middle of trouble in his life, and he knew some of what was coming, and he wrote this wonderful hymn. So what troubles are you facing this morning? It's one of the things I want us to consider as we look at Psalm 46. Luther was fond of saying this at difficult times in his life. He would say, "Come, let us sing the 46th Psalm and let them do their worst." You see, he was confident of the truth of Psalm 46. And whatever trouble, and Luther faced a lot of trouble in his life, he was confident in the Word of God. And so we're going to read here Psalm 46 and then look at our trouble, our God, and our response from this psalm. So I invite you, if you're able, would you please rise for the reading of God's Word here from Psalm 46. We'll read the whole body of the psalm. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen. You may be seated. This is the word of the Lord. As I mentioned, I want to look at our trouble, our God, and our response from this psalm. You know, in the psalm, the psalmist speaks of troubles of nature and nations. He begins speaking of the earth shaking and the waters roaring, earthquakes, floods, tsunamis, natural disasters. And he speaks about nations raging, gathering together against Jerusalem, the raging of nations. And so he speaks about troubles of nature and of nations, you know, things that would have to many in the day seemed unshakable. You know, nations, the kingdom of Assyria was at the time the largest nation in the world. And if in fact that was the background, that army was brought against Jerusalem. The earth shaking and the waters roaring and foaming. You know, these are things that would have seemed unshakable. I mean, does the earth seem stable to you? What of nations and governments? Economies, things that to many people seem stable. I mean, a lot of people put their trust and their hope in such things as the earth and nations and governments and economies. What about your health? You know, one day you have it, the next day it's gone. Now, this wasn't a person, this was a dog, but we just heard one, my mother-in-law's sister, they have a dog, woke up in the morning, was sick, brought it to the vet. That day they put it down because the dog was fine the day before. The next day it had something. They don't even know what it was. They put the dog down. Health, you know, you might think your health is stable. And then the next day it may be gone. You're in an accident. Something happens. So things that seem stable, but really aren't. Your job may seem stable. It may be something that you have no idea, and the next day, no idea that it's going to be gone. The next day, it's gone. Their savings. The stock market crashes, and your savings are lost. Fire ravages your house, or, you know, these sorts of things that to many people, they put their trust in, and they think they're stable, but it's a false place to put your trust, and these things are not stable. All these things can be shaken and crumble. They're not infinitely stable. And all those things that I mentioned, nations, governments, economies, your health, your job, your savings, all those things have or will shake and crumble. And so we must not be lulled into a false security in such things as those. And so in the psalm, the psalmist speaks, he says, therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, the earth giving way, the mountains being moved into the heart of the sea, the waters of the mountains roar and foam, and nations roaring and trembling. These things that many would have thought were stable, but proved to not be. You know, you think of what happens when troubles come, large or small or near or far. You know, whether the nations are there close near the door of Jerusalem, or whether they're raging on the other part of the world. You know, pandemics, inflation, wars, societal unrest, failing health, spiritual assault, personal failure and sin, persecution, injustices, attacks on truth, attacks on the Word of God, His truth, relational conflicts, death, all these things we see around us. These are things that maybe many thought were stable, but these things are roiling and there's shaking going on, and these things are give example of how there's unsteadiness, there's change in the world. And so what troubles you? You know, what mortal ills are prevailing in your life? That line from the hymn. Mortal ills prevailing. Like floods against the mountains. What mortal ills are there in your life that are prevailing, that are beating against you, against you in your life right now? Well, are you sheltering in God as your mighty fortress? All those things that I mentioned, governments, economies, health, jobs, those all things can and have shaken and will shake. But God is our mighty fortress, unshakable. And so are you sheltering in God as your mighty fortress? Troubles are given in this world of various kinds. But also for those of us who are in Christ, God as our mighty fortress is a given in this world. And from age to age, He is the same. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. So there's troubles that we face in life. We all do. There's more troubles to come. That we may not even know exactly all the form that's going to take in our lives. But God is stable. God is our fortress. All of us who have taken refuge in Him. God is the only unchangeable reality. You know, we just looked at all these things that change, even things that seem stable, like the earth. But God is the only unchangeable reality. And His word is true and unshakable. He is a mighty fortress for us. He's unshakable. Lord Sabaoth, His name. That word Sabaoth is the Hebrew for hosts. It comes from this psalm. Psalm 46, if you look at verses 7 and 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The psalmist repeats it twice in verse 7 and verse 11. And that word for hosts in Hebrew is Sabaoth. And so when Luther pens in his hymn, Lord Sabaoth, His name, he's taking it from the psalm here. The Lord of hosts. He's the one who governs and is king over an army of angels that He has created. The Lord of armies, the Lord of hosts, Lord Sabaoth, His name, from age to age the same. Although even the earth is not the same from age to age. It shakes, it moves. The Lord is the same from age to age. And He will win the battle. In fact, we know Christ has already won it at the cross. And the rest of this is a mopping up operation. So His rule is contested now, but His rule is established and sure, and He is the victor. He is the Lord Sabaoth from age to age the same, and He must win the battle. You look at verse 7 and 11, as I mentioned, and we have this refrain repeated, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. And God is our God and fortress. those of us who have taken refuge in him. Now, not everybody does. You see that there's two kind of folks in the psalm. There's those that are in the refuge of the Lord, and there's those that are outside. There's those that are the enemies of the Lord, those who are roiling against him, who are in rebellion against him, who are living their own way apart from him, and they are his enemies, and they're outside under his judgment, and full and final judgment will come. You see that in this psalm. Come behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. You know, this reminds us of Psalm 2 and also Isaiah 9, that well-known famous Christmas where it speaks of the Messiah coming, who has now already come. And it speaks of his kingdom and his government, and the boots for battle will be burned. And so we can look back on, for example, 2 Kings 19 and see how God had defeated the army of Sennacherib. We also look forward to Armageddon, in which his battle is going to, he's going to win the battle there. And one day all wars will cease. Behold, I make all things new, he says. There'll be no more mourning, crying, or pain. And so one of the things you see in this psalm is an already not yet. God has already made war cease. He already is fighting our battles, and it's going to one to be consummated where there will be no more war, period. You see this already not yet sense in the psalm as well when it speaks about there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. We read about the New Jerusalem coming in Revelation chapter 22, verse 1, where there will be the river of the water of life in the city of Jerusalem. And this is in the new heaven and new earth where there's no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. So even as God, his river, his stream, we'll come to that in a little bit, is in our midst, is with us now, we look forward to the consummation coming as well. And so our God, those of us who have taken refuge in him through faith in Christ, he is our refuge. He is our safety. He is our solidity. But then there are those who are outside who remain under his judgment. And so God is our refuge and fortress, us who have taken refuge in him. And to us, this is so good that God is our fortress. He is a very present help in trouble. The very first line of the psalm, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And we see from that line that God is both present with us as our fortress, as our refuge, as our strength, and he's a help. He's present and he's a help. And what joy there is in the midst of trouble to know that God is with us, that he is secure, that he is unshakable. His word is true and unshakable. That the reality of God is unshakable, and he's present with us. You know, you look at verses 1 and 5 and 7 and 11, and you see this. So in verse 1, a very present help in trouble. That's an emphatic. He's present to us. He's present with us in our trouble. You look in verse 5, it says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. So even though there's the assault coming, God is in the midst of her. Notice that this doesn't necessarily mean that God is going to remove troubles from our lives, yet one day there'll be no more trouble. One day in glory, there'll be no more trouble. But even in the midst of troubles that he may not remove in our present, yet we have him with us. God is in our midst. He's a very present help. In trouble, he's present help in trouble. Look at verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord of hosts is with us. And then verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So we who have fled to the Lord for refuge, he is a present help in our troubles. Whatever we're going through, whatever is shaking around us in our lives, the Lord is present with us. Among John Wesley's dying words, that was recorded by somebody who was there as he was dying. He was sick and he was on his deathbed. And the evening before he died, they recorded some of his words. And among the very last words that John Wesley spoke are these. He said, quote, "The best of all is God is with us. Best of all is God is with us." And then a little while later that evening, he quoted from Psalm 46, and he said this. He said, "The Lord is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. clearly had in mind Psalm 46 on his deathbed and the presence of the Lord as he was facing death. The best of all is God is with us. The Lord is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So what trouble is too much when the Lord is with us? The very earth can be shaking. The nations can be railing and raging. And yet our God is our mighty fortress. And so there is no trouble that is too much for us, because God is greater and he's our help in trouble. So not only is he present, but he's our help in trouble. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. As I mentioned, this isn't necessarily from all trouble yet. That's coming. But even if the trouble isn't removed from us yet, and we face plenty of trouble in this life, he still helps us in it. He's still our refuge and strength. Look at verse 5, the second part of verse 5 in the psalm. God will help her when morning dawns. So you think of a city, Jerusalem, with an army of the nation outside raging against it. And there it says, God will help her when morning dawns. Morning dawns, I think what's going on here is that that's the time in which the attack is most likely to take place. And at the very, God will help her when morning dawns. At that time, God's help is there and he avails. God will help her when morning dawns. Look at 6b. He utters his voice, the earth melts. His voice, his word is mighty, is powerful. This comes through in Luther's hymn as well. One little word shall fell him. The word of God's truth over against our foe, our enemy, the devil. One little word shall fell him. That word above all earthly powers. God's word is above all earthly powers. Verse six. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The same word by which he created the world, he here utters his voice and the earth melts. Look at verses 8 through 9. It says, come behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. There he fights for us. He brings war. The nations are nothing to him. The nations raging against him, and yet they're nothing. Again, this reminds us of Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of earth set themselves and their rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. And then look at down to verse 10. Verse 9 and following, you shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel, the Messiah doing this. Now, therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And so he helps us by his word. He utters his voice, the earth melts. He helps us by his works. Come behold the works of the Lord. Works that we read about in the past, we read about creation, we read about his mighty works of redemption, culminating in the work of the cross where the Father sent the Son and he died for our sins. You know, Luther knew the power of God working through his word. He once said something to the effect that during the spread of the Reformation, he said that he did nothing but sit at home and God's word did it all. He did nothing. Luther, what confidence in the power of God's word Luther had. In his hymn, as I mentioned, he wrote, one little word shall fell him, referring to him there, the devil. Speaking of truth from God's word spoken against the devil. And he wrote of God's word that it is that word above all earthly powers. God's word and power is mighty to help us in our trouble and at just the right time. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. So we face trouble, but we have God who is our mighty fortress, those of us who have fled to him for refuge. And so our response, we see a response in this psalm. In verse 2, fear not. You know, he says, He says, therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way. You know, we tend to fear what we consider more dominant in life. You know, some challenge or some threat. But do you remember the disciples' turning point when they were when they came to realize that Jesus was more powerful than this great storm they were in on the Sea of Galilee? You remember Jesus was asleep on the cushion in the boat, and they're freaking out. Mark chapter 4, and there's Jesus on the cushion, this great storm. Mark chapter 4, verses 38 to 41, we read this. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. He said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? You see, their fear of the storm was cast out by a greater fear of the Lord Jesus. And he who was in their midst, they realized, had the authority and the power over the winds and the waves, because he was the creator of the winds and the waves. Jesus, with his power and authority, scared the fear out of them, as somebody has put it. Strong faith in God calms fear. So God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. Think of our brothers and sisters in Ukraine this morning. There was a statement put out by 10 seminaries in which they put out a statement calling against Russia's aggression, affirming Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, praying for peace. And at the end of the statement, they reference this psalm. This is the very last part of the statement is in the reference of Psalm 46, that God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. So as we pray for our brothers and sisters there, pray for peace there, we remember this psalm. God is our refuge and strength, though the nations rage, though the earth gives way. God is immovable, and he is our refuge and strength. And so we're called to fear not. Because we know that God is more dominant than whatever trouble and shaking we're facing in our life, whatever it is. And then we're also called in verse 4 to be glad. Verse 4, we read this, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. You know, we're called to be glad in his blessings. This river symbolizes the presence and blessing, life of God. I mentioned in Revelation 22:1, we read about the river of life, and water brings life by God's grace to the trees that soak it up and produce fruit. We need to drink water. Jesus speaks in John 4 to the woman at the well, and he tells her in John 4:14. Of 13 and following, Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, speaking of merely physical water. And then he says, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And then over in John 7, he says, we read this, John 7:37 and following, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So here we see water, flowing rivers of water, speaking of the eternal life that we have in Christ, the Holy Spirit that he has poured into our hearts that flows from within us. And so here we have the Lord in our midst, his provision, his life, his presence, and this river represents that. And it says there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. The water of God's presence and life in us makes us glad. The river in Jerusalem symbolizes God's presence and provision for his people now and to come. I mentioned Revelation 22:1. And we who are in Christ are citizens of heavenly Jerusalem. Galatians 4, Revelation chapter 20. We who are in Christ are citizens of heavenly Jerusalem. And we know the river of God's provision in Christ of eternal life in the Holy Spirit, we just read of in John 4 and John 7. And we look forward to we look forward in hope to life in the new Jerusalem, in the new heaven and new earth, in which the river of the water of life will flow. So God has made us glad with his presence and provision, even in the midst of our trouble, so that we who have fled to him as our fortress delight to praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. And so we're called to not fear. We're called to be glad, to rejoice in the Lord's abundance of provisions and blessing, even in the midst of our trouble, his presence, the eternal life that we have in Christ, through faith in Christ. And then also in verse 8, we're called to behold the works of the Lord. This strengthens our confidence. When we behold the works of the Lord, past, present, and future, we know future things he's going to do from the scriptures. And as we behold, as we consider with our mind's eye, with our heart, as we look on these things with our heart, not just our physical eye, and we meditate upon his works, and we think of what he's done and what he does and what he will do, and what they tell us about God, our creator, our sustainer, our redeemer, our Lord. For example, beholding the works of the Lord, think of the cross, Romans 5:8. So we behold the cross and what took place there, and what does that show us? Romans 5:8 tells us this: but God shows his love, and Paul writes this in the present tense. This is after Christ has already gone to the cross and suffered and died and risen from the dead. Paul says, shows, present tense, but God shows, he continues to show us his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Think of this work of the Lord, that the Son of God took on flesh and went to the cross to die in the place of his enemies, in the place of sinners, so that we can have eternal life, forgiveness, refuge in him. In fact, later in Romans, Paul goes on in Romans 8:1 and he says this, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Who are in Christ, who have taken refuge in the Savior. There is therefore now no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. And so when we consider the works of the Lord, one example, we look at the cross and looking there, we see his power. We see what he has accomplished in Jesus dying for our sins and rising from the dead in victory, so that in him, through faith, we do have eternal life. We do have forgiveness. We do have glory to come. And we see the love of God that is still shown to us, where he is still showing us his love as we look at the cross. And so it boosts our confidence. We remember how great and how loving our God is, and it boosts our confidence. Behold the works of the Lord. This God is our refuge and strength. This God is our refuge and strength. And then finally, in response, look at verse 10. It says, be still and know that I am God. There's a place where I go running and there's a sign out on the side of the road that has this reference. I think I saw it on another sign recently as well. You know, this is a very common and for good reason scripture that's put out there. Be still and know that I am God. Brothers and sisters, does this really need any comment? Be still and know that I am God. In the knowledge that our God is God, almighty, unchangeable, unshakable, good, gracious, merciful. Be still and know that I am God. In the knowledge that God is God, we who know him as our God know peace. no calm, even in the midst of the storm, even in the midst of the earth shaking and the waters roiling. Peace like a river, peace like a river, knowing that our God is God Almighty, Lord Sabaoth, His name from age to age the same. Now, if you don't know the Lord, this verse calls you to be still. This word can also be translated as give up or surrender. And so in this verse, there's the call to those who have taken refuge in God to be still and know. We who are in Him, be still and know He's God. We are safe in Him. Death can't separate us from God. He is Almighty. And then there's also the call in this verse to the nations that are raging. You see, this comes in verse 10, right after verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how He has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. The enemies that have come against the Lord and His people who have taken refuge in Him. And He says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And He calls the unbelievers, those of the nations coming against Him, to also be still, to give up, to surrender. Be still. As I mentioned, it can be translated as give up. Lay down your arms. Surrender. Be still and know that I am God. You cannot stand against this God. In fact, you find yourself, as this psalm indicates, if you're not in God for refuge, you are His enemy outside of Him under His judgment. And there's judgment to come where it will be eternal, and it will be, His name will be exalted among the nations. He'll be exalted among the earth. And there will be that time where, as Scripture says in Philippians 2:11, that every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The question is whether that confession is one of submitted faith, Lord, You are my Lord and Savior, or if it's the knee bowing as a defeated enemy and a defeated foe. You see, as I mentioned earlier, there's only two kinds of folks in this psalm. There's those who have fled to the Lord for refuge, have found the mercy and forgiveness of the Lord, and come to Him for refuge. And then there's those who remain outside in rebellion against Him, who remain under His judgment. And so there's those who are safely sheltered in God through faith, and then those who are outside of Him under His judgment. And the call from this verse to those who are in Him, as I said, is be still, knowing that He's our God. This peace that we have with Him, rest deeply in that. Rest more and more in the knowledge that God is God. And the call to those who are outside, lay down your arms. Come to Him for mercy and grace. Jesus said, come to Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So instead of remaining outside of Him, under His judgment, accept His merciful invitation to kiss the Son, to come into Him for refuge, to lay down your arms, to surrender, to submit, to trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior, and so be found in Him. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Paul also says in Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, that is, declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The way to have peace with God is by trusting in Christ as Lord and Savior, by laying down your arms of rebellion, repenting, turning from your own way, from your sin, to Christ for His mercy, for His salvation. Trusting in Christ as your Savior and Lord. And so, the question, as I meant, the question for those bowing the knee, as I mentioned, is that for any given individual, is whether the confession of Christ as Lord is one of submitted faith and trust in Him, or that of a defeated enemy facing God's judgment. One of one coming to Him for mercy and finding it through faith in Christ, or remaining outside of Him. The only way out of judgment is to come by faith into Christ as refuge, who has borne our judgment on the cross. You see, Christ died for our sins, and then rose on the third day. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. That gift of refuge, of safety, of eternal life is a gift given to all who trust in Christ, who lay down arms of rebellion, repenting of sin, turning to Him for salvation. So it's through faith in Christ that we have peace with God, that we're in the refuge, having God as our mighty fortress. Luther knew this when he wrote this in his hymn. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabaoth, His name, from age to age the same, and He must win the battle. Let me close with Acts 4:12. We read this, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And so all of us in Christ, praise the Lord, know God as our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Amen.